Yeah, my only hope was Betty Lou. She was the one, a combination AK-57 Uzi Raider laser triple barrel double scope heat-seeking shotgun.
The double XL.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. right, here we are, and welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the, 11? Let me see if I can get this in the right format. It's November 20th. So when you're here, it is almost Christmas now. As I told you the other night, Monday, in our abbreviated show, that a lot of my shows from here on out are going to be pre-records, or at least for the next few months, either until I get kicked out of this race or decide to quit or I become sheriff, one or the other. So that's I'm doing this for a couple of reasons. One of them is because my time now is at a premium, and I just can't guarantee everybody that I can sit down here and be on time with a live show all the time. And with that in mind, I also don't want you to expect a live show and sit down and be greeted with an old archive over and over. So I figured in order to appease everyone, including me, that I would do pre-records as I was able to through the week. You know, I can do them anytime as long as I keep current events in there. And just get them on the auto DJ when it's, you know, before it's time, and you'll have a fresh, new, brand spanking new Shooting Bench. It's just that I won't be able to interact with you on the chat room. So that's the way it's going to be for a little while. And we may do that with Amy's show. I don't know. I haven't discussed this with her yet. So I'll talk to her and figure out what we're going to do with her show. But like I said, I just have very little time. That and the fact that our participation in the chat room has been so dismal for the last few months here that the podcast chomping at the bit, always looking for new shows, so I need to get them caught up. So this lets everybody do it, because if I do it this way, you know, I've been having trouble recording for the last several shows here. So doing it like this, I can record it. You guys on the chat room get a fresh new show. You can visit with each other on the chat room. If I'm available, I will join you in the chat room. If I'm here, you know, during that time. If I'm not, I won't. But, and then the podcast gets new shows too. So for those of you on the podcast, I will be, loading several of those up here and start trying to get caught up again. Maybe possibly tonight, but certainly this weekend, I will get that taken care of for you. So with all that being said, let's move along here. I may accidentally double a couple of these, because I had a really nice show planned for you Monday, had it all recorded and everything. And then I listened to part of it, and for whatever reason, I have no idea, some of it doubled. I was getting my voice, and then about 2 or 3 seconds later, I was getting my voice again saying the same thing, all blended together. And boy, if you don't think that wasn't a train wreck. So I had to dump that whole thing and wind up doing our little 40-minute show or whatever it was for Monday night. But because of what? Because of time constraints, because I didn't have time to do it all over again, and I couldn't do a live one. So that's what you got. But as time goes on here, I'll get a little better at this and make sure. Now, you guys have lived with Mother Earth doing recorded shows for I don't know how long. And so this is no different, except this is me and not Mother Earth. So I'll be doing this for a little. If I happen to win the sheriff deal, then it's going to be this way indefinitely. We'll see what happens. But if I don't, it'll probably go back to normal as soon as it's all over with. So, but I will keep you informed. You will find out probably before anyone. So, like I said, some of these shows I may accidentally do a second time, and I apologize for that. But get this cleaned off and get started over again. Liberty Lounge will also be fresh and new, and it will be very much like every other Liberty Lounge. You know, I don't get too involved with the chat room, so this may allow me to get a little bit more involved in the chat room by doing it this way. So, all right, let's see what we got here. I added some new stuff today, so I'm going to kind of breeze through some of these and let you know what's happening here. As this one here, I know I covered about the Supreme Court having unanimous voted unanimously in favor of gun rights. I'm sure I covered that one. So let me just scroll down through these here. I did this one. This was no gas ranges in California. They're looking at 13 cities and one county now that are doing away with gas ranges and wanting to go all electric. That's real clever since they're shutting the electric off too. So not sure what's going to happen come dinner time, but that's what your friendly neighborhood retards have in mind for you. So South Carolina, they're ending daylight savings time, joining Arizona and Hawaii in not observing daylight savings time. Now the problem I have with this, which I may have already covered this one too, but I'm going to tell you again, is that they've approved this new bill, and they say if it's approved by the federal government, then they're going to do away with the daylight savings time. I don't understand that. They join Florida, Arkansas, Tennessee, Oregon, Delaware, Utah, and Maine, and Washington in the move to request the feds to allow the change. You know what? Hawaii and Arizona didn't even ask. They just don't do it, regardless of what federal law says. So you guys need to man the hell up here and just do it. You know, it's your state. You make the laws in your state. And if the feds don't like it, then, then go pound sand. But speaking of pound sand, I haven't seen him for quite a while. I don't know what happened to him. Anyway, so that's what's going on in South Carolina. It passed unanimously in the state Senate. So we'll see what happens there. I think that's a very good thing so far. All right. There was a school shooting, not this last one. There was another one in Oklahoma. And that one was pretty predictable. You know, every time, and I hate to do this, because I used to think that, you know, these people that said, that all these shootings were orchestrated and they had them at certain times, but this has been too coincidental too many times in a row, way too often, to not think that there's something going on with these shootings. You know, Oklahoma just passed their constitutional carry deal here not too long ago. And so they're big in the news. And what better place to have a school shooting than Oklahoma? And I just have to wonder if they would have actually had that school shooting had they not passed this constitutional carry law here just recently. Okay. What was I saying here? This was, oh yeah, there is a senator, while the shooting in California was going on here just, what was it been, 2 weeks ago now? Not very long. There was a, one of the GOP legislators here blocked a gun control bill as the news of this was unfolding. So as I've, this tells us that we have people on our side, on the inside. We have people on our side in the legislature and in the Senate and the House in every state and federally. A lot of them are not. I understand that. And, you know, a lot of Catholic priests are not pedophiles, and a lot of cops are not jackbooted thugs. You know, there's some bad apples in every barrel out there. But I personally know some very, very conservative constitutional legislators that need to stay where they're at, you know, for as long as they can. And I know several of them, and I'm friends with them. I get along with them. I agree with them. Matt Shea is one. Walt Blackman is one. Sylvia Allen is one. We've got two up-and-coming ones here in Arizona, David Peelman and Chris Taylor. If both of those get in there, that's going to add to our strict constitutional legislators here in Arizona. So I am not at all for those people that keep saying, well, we just need to get rid of all of them and start over. No, we don't. We need to get rid of the bad ones and trade them in for some good ones. You know. I think I covered this here too about the grenades in Grants Pass. I'll go over this just very briefly here. There were some live grenades live grenades found near the Grants Pass McDonald's in Oregon. And, of the ones that they found, I think they found four or five. Three of them were actually live, explosive devices. So, nobody knows at this point. I haven't seen any updates on this, whether they are, a failed terrorist attempt or, somebody had stolen them and got scared and got rid of them, or if they fell off of a military truck. I don't have any idea what happened. But, anyway, that's what happened in Oregon. So with this thing rolling right along here, stand by just a second. Let me double check and see. Okay, I think we're doing all right now. Let me get back here where I was at. Where was I at? There I was at, right there. Okay. I know I covered this in my first show that I doubled and screwed up Monday, but I don't think I did it again. So in Colorado, you know, they had in 2013, they passed the bill there that banned high-capacity magazines, anything over 15 rounds. And, you know, on the one hand, you look and say, well, that's, you know, 15 rounds, that's not too bad. We can live with that. But it's not a matter of whether you'll ever need that or not. It's a matter of they are taking it away from you because they say that you don't need it, and that's not acceptable. But at any rate, the way it's written, you know, there's some enterprising firearms owner always finds a way to get around this stuff. You know, the bullet buttons in California on the AR-15s and the thumb hole stocks and, you know, several other things that somebody has found a way around. But in this, the way they wrote this magazine ban, it very clearly defined magazines and didn't make any mention of parts and pieces or anything like that. So some clever person here decided, you know what, if we bring these parts and pieces in here and sell them as parts kits, and if you want to build a magazine with it, that's okay. That is legal. Now, what I don't quite understand about this is, why is it legal? Because after you put all the parts together, it's still a magazine. So I don't know if the law said that they were not shipping any more into the state and not selling them in the state, not saying you couldn't own them. I'm not sure. But apparently there's quite a few places doing this. They went on an undercover deal here and checked 10 gun stores, and 7 out of the 10 were doing just that. They were getting parts from somewhere else and selling them as parts kits. So this, let's see, employees at one store after another, okay. Obviously Dick's Sporting Goods and Sportsman's Warehouse didn't want to play that game. But let me see if I can find in here where it says, says it prohibits the sale, transfer, or possession of an ammunition feeding device that is capable of accepting or that can readily be converted to accept more than 15 rounds of ammunition or more than 8 shotgun shells. This was right after the Aurora, Colorado theater shooting up there. So it said the bill grandfathered in old large capacity magazines that gun owners already had in their possession, but forbids new sales or transfers. So maybe that's where they're getting around it there. Any rate, whatever it is, I guess they figured out how they can get around it, and they're selling oodles and gobs of them in Colorado now. And several sheriffs in Colorado said, we don't care what they do, we're not enforcing this stupid bill, so do whatever you want to, I don't care. So, moving right along here, we may get through a bunch of these tonight, but I'm gonna do my best here. This is a great story. I like this. It is said here that the federal court has ruled that suspicionless searches of phones and laptops, or travelers' phones and laptops, is unconstitutional. I don't know why it took them this long to figure this out, but nevertheless, they figured it out, and that's a very good thing. So this was quite a victory for privacy rights folks. But this court in Boston, of all places, this was just a week ago, ruled that their suspicionless searches of international travelers' smartphones and laptops at airports and other U.S. ports violate the ports of entry, violate the Fourth Amendment. So there was a group here, the ACLU, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, ACLU of Massachusetts, on behalf of 11 travelers whose smartphones and laptops were searched without individualized suspicion at U.S. ports of entry. So anyway, long story short, they've made it where it was unconstitutional. And now, just because the court rules this, I don't know that that's going to change what they do, and unless a law prohibits that. You know, the judge, they can't rule from the, can't legislate from the bench. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out here. But this is another good reason to have your phones secured. If they can't get in it, they can't make you without a warrant. They can't get a warrant without probable cause. So when they just say, you know, I'll turn it on and off for them. But when they say open it up, I said, oh, no, I'm not going to open it up. What's in there is none of your business. It's mine. It's private. And they can threaten me and they can do whatever they want to do. But that's not going to change. Now, if they go get a warrant, that's fine. We'll have to fight that in court. But and they might, because if you refuse to do it, they're automatically going to assume that you've got something to hide. So it's going to depend on how strong you are as to how well you hold up to the abuse that you are about to receive. So that's another one we definitely want to keep an eye on here. All right, I'm sorry I have to keep double checking this, but since I am double checking, I'm going to do one more story and then we're going to go to a little break. Okay. Let me get back over here to my story. Here, this one disturbs me. There is this great big jackbooted thug here who has, and this is an Arizona story. That's what makes it even worse. I hate this. He's a sheriff's deputy out of Pima County, Arizona. Has taken a boy, a quadruple amputee, no arms, no legs, put him in a headlock for throwing a fit. And he arrested him ultimately and arrested his friend also for videotaping all of this. And, so here's this guy, this big old lug here with his wraparound glasses and his black tactical gloves and all this stuff. And, so he, I'm not sure how this works. The boy had been accused of throwing a tantrum inside. They were all in a home, in a group home for, you know, troubled teens or whatever the case is. And he was abandoned by his parents. He got in trouble for specifically kicking over a plastic garbage can, despite the fact that he doesn't have any legs. Exactly how this happened is yet to be determined. But they said the boy also threatened a staff member. Okay, if somebody with no arms or legs threatens me, I will take the threat seriously, but I don't think I'm going to get too, I wouldn't say I'm going to take it seriously. I will believe in my mind that they seriously mean it. However, even in my old decrepit self, I'm pretty sure that I can still outrun somebody with no arms and no legs. I don't think there's no reason to call the cops. So I don't know what all went on here, but anyway. So both the teens were arrested and charged with disorderly conduct, which is basically a contempt of cop charge. They didn't do exactly what he said exactly when he said it, and it made him mad, so he arrested them. That's what it boils down to. He was rude, throwing F-bombs around these teenagers. And the Pima County, there was one part here that I wanted to also share. Where was it? You can go online and find the full 8-minute unedited video. Pima County Defender's Office has it now. Okay, here's the first update to this. Charges against the teen have been dismissed, according to the Associated Press, with no mention of what the other boy's judicial status is. Update 2, the deputy's been identified as Manuel Van Santen, S-A-N-T-E-N, according to the Arizona Republic. He's an award-winning deputy who was listed as president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Pima County Lodge 20, in 2017. The Pima County Public Defender told the Arizona Republic that Van Senten Manuel needs to be punished accordingly. So we don't know if there's going to be any punishment or what's going to happen here. If I happen to hear anything else about this, then quite naturally, I'll share it with you. Quite naturally, I'm going to take a little break right now, so stand by a minute, and I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Midnight tea, top jack in a cherry coke town. Mama and daddy put their roots right here, cause this is where the car broke down. Yellow dog school bus, kicking up red dust, picking us up by barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map. Cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American kids. Growing up in little pink houses, making out on living room couches, blowing that smoke on Saturday night. A little messed up, but we're all right. Hey. Hey. Baptist church parking lot, trying not to get caught. Take her home and give her your jacket. Making it to second base for saying you went all the way Monday afternoon at practice. Sister's got a boyfriend, daddy doesn't lie. Now he's sitting out back 30-30 in his lap in the blue bug zapper light. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stops, made a little map, Dodge, New York to L.A. We were teenagers. Cover of the Rolling Stone.
dream, baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to LA. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning, baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, uptown, down home, American kids. Growing up in little pink houses, making out on living room couches, blowing that smoke on Saturday night. A little messed up, but we're all alright.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom File.
There's been a lot of talk about amnesty for illegal aliens. It's a bad idea to reward people who burden American citizens with billions in social welfare and declining wage costs. Interestingly, it tends to be the left and progressives who support illegal alien amnesty. But the debate made me think about another type of amnesty. It's one which the left, if they are sincere in their oft-stated concern for humanity, should embrace, and it's one which the right, if they are sincere about their respect for individual rights, should welcome. I'm talking about amnesty for the countless Americans in prison for victimless crimes. Our prisons are loaded with people who haven't done the slightest bit of harm to anyone else. In fact, we incarcerate more people per capita than Russia, China, Cuba, or any other country for which such records are kept. Huge numbers are incarcerated for drug crimes involving no one but themselves. They're not the only ones. We imprison those who violate, knowingly or innocently, technical firearms regulations, land use regulations, raw milk regulations, food regulations, unapproved therapy regulations, and on and on and on. The list seems endless. And there invariably seems to be someone making a buck at the end of the regulation and imprisonment trail. Let them go. Let them go free. All of them, I say, wipe the slate clean. These people don't belong in prisons. The people who write and enforce the laws that fill our prisons with non-criminals belong in asylums. I say these things not because I'm soft on crime. I think the worst of humanity's scum, the cold-blooded murderers and child molesters, should be hung in front of the county courthouse at noon. I say these things because, A, they're an affront to human rights, dignity, and liberty, B, they don't work, and C, they're hideously expensive, and I don't want to pay for it. The victimless crime racket does, in fact, have multiple victims. They're called you and I. You can see it as our society becomes ever more regulated and less free, as the tax burdens rise, and as respect for individual rights becomes little more than a fading memory. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. And poof, just like that, I'm back. So let's see if we can hit a couple more stories here before quitting time. For those of you that may have just joined us, this is a... Well, I won't even go there right now. I'm not going to do that. If you just joined us, go back to the first of the archive and listen to the rest of it. Get yourself educated and caught up here. Let's see. What kind of a warning am I getting here? The recording was too loud. The samples above there may be distorted and saved in this file. So. Okay. All right. I can live with that for now. I may have to adjust this a little bit. I'll get it all down, though. I'll get it fixed up for you, and it'll just seem like I'm right there in the kitchen with you for long. Okay, let's bounce back over here to see what we got. We did that one. Smith & Wesson now. For you, those of you that have followed this over the years, Smith & Wesson has been part of a one conglomeration or another over the years. And they are now venturing out on their own. They have been a part of the American Outdoor Brands Corporation. Most of you don't even probably never heard of that, because you've heard of some of the brands that they carry. Some of the brands that's under that name includes Caldwell. If you're much of a shooter, you know who Caldwell is. Crimson Trace, Tipton, Frankfurt Arsenal, Lockdown, Schrade, Old Timer, Uncle Henry, Imperial Knives, Laser Light. Smith & Wesson will still license their accessories. You know, Smith & Wesson makes knives and handcuffs and some other stuff. They'll still, actually, I don't know if they make them, but they have their brand name on them. Those will still be marketed and sold through American Outdoor Brands Corporation. So Smith & Wesson now is going to focus 100% on firearms. They've been in the business for 167 years. You're familiar with the M&P and some of that. Also, Thompson Center and Gemtech are part of the Smith & Wesson, flying under the Smith & Wesson banner there. So according to statistics, Smith & Wesson produced 1,032,450 pistols, 207,384 revolvers, and 256,356 rifles in their Springfield, Massachusetts plant in 2017 alone, which is the most current data. So that's just under 2 million guns, a little over 1.5 million guns in 1 year. So that makes them, or they doesn't make them, they remain as one of the biggest gun makers in the world. So let's, and I like Smith & Wesson. A lot of people boycotted them. They quit using them for, quit buying for quite a while when they made their deal with the government back in, I don't know when that was. I believe it was in the early 90s, late 80s. I don't remember exactly when it was. But anyway, a lot of people were very upset, including me. And I quit buying them. And then another company bought them out and rescinded the deal. And everybody was happy again. So they've had some ups and downs, but they remain to be, you know, like I said, one of the biggest. And I do like Smith & Wesson guns. I love their revolvers. They're not as robust and stout as, you know, Ruger's, but they are nicer. They got nicer triggers. They shoot well. They're pretty. They're fine works of art, you know, a lot of them. They're craftsmanship, I should say. And the Ruger's are rugged working guns. You know, there's not a thing in the world wrong with them. I love Ruger and Smith & Wesson both. But they're just kind of on different sides of the fence as far as cosmetics and everything go. Okay, on we go here. This was something that doesn't surprise me in the least. I'm surprised that it's taken this long to catch one. But a Border Patrol agent got in a shootout with it. It wasn't a shootout. They just shot a Russian trying to sneak into the United States through from Mexico through across the border there. And the reason I say it's not surprising is because back in 2002, I was down in Abilene, Texas on a job, and I got involved with a guy down there, involved with, he was actually the founder of an organization called Ranch Rescue. And Ranch Rescue was kind of what Arizona Border Recon and some of these guys do. They were trying to, you know, get documentation of illegals coming into the country and helping ranchers and stuff like that. Now, since then, this guy that founded this outfit has been in quite a bit of trouble. I haven't talked to him for, well, since I left down there. So it's been,
17 years, I guess, since I've talked to him.
But anyway, we had pictures then of 17 years ago of foreign army officers and Middle Eastern military of some kind talking with Mexican authorities on the border, standing beside a Humvee and visiting about something, I don't know. So we've wondered for years, you know, how many Middle Easterners and Russian or Chinese or whatever have come across that border in the various numerous weak spots. Actually, there hadn't been any strong spots here until just recently. But okay. Well, let me get this stuff in order here just a little bit. Well, I can go ahead and do this one. Then I'm going to have to move some stuff around here a little bit. I'm getting a little bit cluttered. You may have heard, especially if you're a shooter or a long-range shooter, you may have heard of a guy named Randy Wise. He has really come to fame here, become known just recently. In August, he set the new extreme long-range world record. He put three shots on a 36-inch square plate at 2,158 yards. That's a pretty fair poke right there. And what makes it so one of the things that makes it so interesting, he did this with a 338 Lapua out of a cold bore and shot three for three. And I thought one interesting part of this was, you know, a nice expensive scope, really nice stock, you know, chassis and everything for it. But the gun, other than the stock, the trigger and the scope, is bone stock. The barrel is a stock barrel. It's not a Douglas Supreme or anything like that. It's just a stock barrel. So, you know, I have told you guys for years and years that a lot of these, you know, these places advertise that their $3,000 guns will shoot, you know, half MOA at 100 yards with certain loads. Okay, well, that's not bad. I would hope that it would. And I've said that because I have most of my bolt-action rifles would do at least that well, or I didn't keep them. I would trade them off. If I couldn't develop a load for most of them, now a lot of it depends on caliber, but if I couldn't develop a load to make that gun or get it adjusted in such a way that I was able to shoot well under an inch at 100 yards, then it has no place at Casa de Cope. You know, to my, you remember I've talked about my old 257 Roberts that I had for years. It was my mom's. It would, with monotonous regularity, shoot under or at a quarter of an inch. I never shot under a quarter of an inch with that one. But my best with that gun was three shots in exactly 250 thousandths of an inch. So I just hesitate to get too excited about some of these guns that are, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, and they guarantee that they'll shoot a half minute of angle. I would hope to hell that they would. Anyway, guys, looking at this plate, the shots are marked on it. The number one shot. Oh, by the way, he got a check for $1,000 for doing this too. It's not bad for a few minutes work there. But his first shot looks like it just about cut the bullet in half right at the bottom of the plate on the bottom right-hand side. The second shot was quite a bit higher. It was up at the top of the plate, about 6 inches down from the top. And the third shot, really only about, from the looks of this, 6 or 8 inches from the first shot. So judging, knowing that this plate is 36 inches square, I'm going to say this group is approximately 10 inches wide and less than 30 inches tall, or about 30 inches tall. So that has to be, unfortunately, even though two of the shots are 6 inches apart, the number two shot stretched it out to a 30-inch group. But a 30-inch group at 2,100 yards is still nothing to sneeze at. That's hitting anything, hitting a freight train at 2,100 yards is a pretty good shot. But so that makes it what? That would be, what am I thinking about here? It'd be 15 inches or a little less at a little over 1,000 yards, about 1,100, 1,050. It would be 7.5 inches at 500 yards. Now, 7.5 inches at 500 yards is not that great. It's okay. But the thing you have to understand here, that when you're shooting that far away, you know, there's a lot of other things that come into play here. The wind may be blowing 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 8, 10 different directions by the time it travels that far. I've seen the wind change at a match in Colorado one time, shooting in simply 100 meters. We had 3 wind changes. I shouldn't say 3 wind changes. What I should say is the wind was blowing different directions in 3 different places in that 100 yards, because it was kind of built into a cove area there. And the wind coming up from the river would come in, hit that cove, and kind of reverse, do a U-turn, and come through again. So we were having to fight that. So there's no telling what happened with the wind and the mirage in 2,100 yards. So just because it, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not triangulate, but anyway, whatever the word is to see what the bullet theoretically would be making a group at 500 yards, and it would be roughly 7.5 inches. So stretched out to 2,100, I say that's pretty cut and pick and good shooting, if you ask me, no matter what it was at 500 yards. All right, I've got to move some of this stuff around, so stay with me just a minute, and I'll be back.
You know there's a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. When childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind. Go to church 'cause your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. It won't be wasted time. Always stay humble and kind. Between sleeping with someone
and sleeping with someone you love. I love you, ain't no pickup line, so always stay humble and kind. Oh, the nurse said, please say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When those dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. Shut off the AC and roll the windows down. Let that summer sunshine always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
All right, we're a little bit farther along than I thought we were after that long spiel in this last story here. So let's hit just a couple more short ones here. And we'll scoot on out of here, and we'll be back here for Liberty Lounge on Friday. This is, I'm not sure what the reasoning was behind this. They're shutting down the largest coal-fired power plant in the Southwest here. This is it's a big plant out on the Navajo Reservation. It's the Navajo Generating Station is what they call it. And it feeds primarily the Navajo and Hopi Reservation are parts of it. And with it is they're going to shut down one of the big Peabody coal mines. So this is going to put a lot of people out of work. You'd yet to see, I guess. They're going to keep it open for a while. They're going to, until they run out of the coal that they have mined and out available to use. Now, I don't know why they're... If they're going to shut it down, why don't you just shut it down? You know, they can sell that coal. They've got, you know, hundreds, thousands of tons of it piled up out there. I've been out by this place. I know where it's at. And I've seen that mine. It's absolutely freaking incredible how much earth they've moved out there to get the coal out of there. But with all this, I don't know why they just don't sell it. They'd have people lined up for miles to buy that coal, you know, just have a couple of loaders out there or a loader and just loading it out for years to come. They have a little bit of residual income out of this thing. But anyway, be that as it may, what the important thing is here, what are all these people going to do that are being put out of jobs? Out of the 433 people that work there, 280 of them are going to other places, other facilities. They've accepted jobs, you know, to relocate and get these new jobs. And others have either refused to move or have chosen to retire. So there's only going to be about 50 employees left, and most of those will be working on by contract, and they're going to stay there until the actual plant shuts down after the coal reserves run out there. So anyway, we'll see if that see if there's any more story that comes in after that. I guess the coal mine is the Kayenta coal mine is going to also shut down here. Or maybe I read that wrong. The Kayenta coal mine is the only one that's shutting down. Anyhow, whatever it is, it's putting people out of work. Oodles and gobs of them. All right. Here is, this is the second state that I've heard doing this. Michigan has a bill out there that is going to put gun-free zones on the hook for injuries. If you're in a gun-free zone, you get wind up getting shot, injured, not able to protect yourself. The gun, whoever the facility was that put up the gun-free zone sign, is going to be liable for your injuries or for your damage or whatever. So in some other state just come up there. I think it might have been Virginia. I'm not sure. But anyway, there's a couple of them doing this. You guys heard the story probably more than once of the little restaurant. Me and Tebow used to go there a lot. Jason, we all went there quite often. It was called The Kettle in Farmington. And had a dang great breakfast buffet there. But they, out of the clear blue sky, you know, hell, a dozen of us showed up there, or 15 of us probably, would go there and eat regularly, all of us wearing guns, and they got the bright idea all of a sudden they'd put up a sign that said no guns. So most of us just said, fine, no business. We didn't go there anymore. And a couple of the guys, they're actually students of mine, went in there and said, okay, you know, we're going to keep coming here. We like the food. We like the company. But I'll tell you what, if anything ever happens that we could have prevented or protected ourselves with our firearms and we don't have them because of your sign, then we will own this place. We will sue you until you can't see. And the owner and manager thought about that for a little while. He said, you know what? It's been all these years and nothing's ever happened. So why don't we just keep things like they are and make everybody happy? So the sign only stayed up there. I don't think it stayed up there 30 days. And it was down and everything was back to normal and everybody lived happily ever after. I guess when this was, I'll make this one short and sweet. There's a female concealed carry holder here that, this was in Florida, that, someone come up and demanded money, that saying she owed him money instead of just coming out outright and saying, this is a robbery, saying, do you owe me money? And she refused and stood her ground. And so the guy finally got frustrated and left and come back by in a car, and him and his compadre, and started shooting. Well, her boyfriend, or her husband, I guess it was, got hit. He's okay. Didn't hurt him, but too bad. And she whooped out her concealed carry weapon and went blazing away at him. I guess it was quite a gunfight. They said there was quite a few bullets in the side of this building. And she stood her ground and fired back and hit one of them in the head. And both of them got caught. One of them wound up in the hospital, and the other one wound up in jail. And just another one of those awesome stories with a happy ending. Okay, last one. Some of you, I know this was a big deal, big hit for Amy. She loves CarMax. I think that's the greatest thing in the world. Go buy used cars, just check them out through CarMax. However, CarMax has just joined the anti-gun deal here by donating a whole bunch of money to a couple of Bloomberg's outfits here. Moms Against Action and Every Town for Gun Safety. So that means CarMax is no longer on the list of places that the Reynolds family does business, unfortunately. Okay, well, there you have it. Here's our first full, unedited, pre-recorded shooting bench for a long time. I did some pre-records back years ago that, for one reason or another, I don't remember what it was, that I had time to do a pre-record because I knew I was going to be gone or something. And so now, like I said, for those of you that didn't join us at the first of the show, because of my time being very limited right now for the next several months,
where I'm going to do fresh, new pre-records for you on time, on the bright days, and hopefully that will make everybody happy until when and if we get ready to get back. And so I didn't want you, everybody, to tune in here and say, oh, it's time to hear, listen to the Shooting Bench, and then get an old archive. So if I can't guarantee that I'm going to be here on time every time, then I want to make sure that you have a fresh new show on time every time. So that's what I'm going to be doing here for the foreseeable future.
So with all that being said, I'll see you Friday night for Liberty Lounge, and good night.